So we continue with our practice of purification. Now that we can and that we have it available for us, which is really good. And I said that I would mention a little bit about the four opponent powers, which we already did yesterday, but I just want to mention them one way by one. These are the powers that oppose to the negative imprints in our mind. Negative, you know, they are negative, not because it's said it's negative, but just because they bring suffering as a result. They are an imprint of harm and suffering, or something that prevents us from understanding who we really are and understanding what reality really is. So these are imprints that don't allow us to be fully who we are, to contact with our real nature and our wisdom and compassion, and they keep us bound by afflictions and ignorance, right? That's why it's called negative. But then what opposes to this is the practice of purification, and for it to be strong, to have all the aspects, we work with four specific powers. They are called powers because they have power over these things that that are our so-called negative karma or unwholesome karma and obscurations. So first one is the power of the object is called, and this is refuge and bodhicitta. And why is that? This is our main object, usually, that is the object of harm in relation to negative karma. So what creates negative karma is harming others, right? Or harming ourselves. So bodhicitta is the other way around. It's a wish for everyone, every single sentient being, including myself, to not suffer, to be happy, and the wish from here to attain enlightenment so that I can help them, I can help myself, I can do something. So it's the opposite to harming. That's why bodhicitta is a main object we're working with. And refuge, same, because refuge is what connects with our inner nature, what connects with our inner capacities, is what protects us from negative and unwholesome habits and tendencies and so on. It's confidence in what we can really be and do, confidence in our wisdom, in our compassion, and confidence and trust to those who are manifesting these already. So this is another object. You know, we're purifying here negative actions and harm done to us and done to others. And also we were saying ignorance and obscurations, right? And vows and promises that we have broken. All these things, they separate us from who we really are, from understanding reality, from our nature of wisdom and compassion. And refuge is something that brings us into our inner nature, confidence, wisdom, compassion. So it's the opposite. That's why it's called the object, the power of the object. Yeah? So if we keep in our minds the refuge and the bodhicitta, we are doing the opposite movement than we do when we continue to create negative and unwholesome tendencies that will create suffering. Refuge and bodhicitta are just the opposite to that. So that's why it's one of the powers, refuge and bodhicitta. And then we have the power of regret. We've been speaking about it. Is this feeling that there's something that can bring harm and suffering within me and in others too. So we bring it to the surface, we contact with this so that we can purify it. Otherwise it remains separate from us. We don't touch it that much with the purification, right? And also, the more we contact with this, the more energy we have to purify. Otherwise, it's just, oh, things are more or less going well. It's fine, right? So we don't put energy. But when we start thinking, wow, really, what's in my mainstream? And how much do I follow afflictions and attachment and aversion and ignorance? And how much I've done this throughout my life? How much of egoism I've been following? And when I've been in a situation which is difficult for me, how much chance I've had to not harm others, you know, when I've harmed others. So this has been like that from many, many lifetimes. So there is something there that we need to purify. Maybe when we feel under difficulties or we get sick or something, then we suddenly realize, wow, this is true. It can happen at any moment that something goes wrong. But when we keep going, we just keep going. So the power of regret brings us to mind that there is still something to be purified. And we can go through the actions, for instance, the 10 actions, the 10 more usual actions that don't help us, like killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, harsh words. Help me here in case I don't remember some of them. You know the 10. Gossiping. I'm missing one now.
Divisive speech.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, and malice and how you call this, and covetousness, you call it, that one, right? And wrong views. This all separates us from, you know, from others, and makes us harm ourselves, and they have their results. So we've been doing this pretty much more or less all our lives, no? Even with animals and, for instance, killing mosquitoes. So if we really dig there and not so deep, we find these things within us. So that's the power of regret. It's touching this, to get in touch with this, to bring it a little bit into the surface so that we can touch it when we purify. And also is bringing us energy for the purification. And also is changing our negative tendencies. This is important also because so far we just do things, you know, or maybe I like here, I like there, don't put that much importance to this, but the power of regret says, no, I don't want to keep doing this. You know, I want to change. I realize this is not helping me. This is not helping others. This can bring suffering to me in the present, in the future. This can bring suffering to others in the present, in the future. So I don't want this anymore. I realize now that this is not a way to go. So this is the power of regret. That's why we always stop a little bit there. Always. I'm going to read something very short, which I like very much. It's in this book. It's Robert Thurman's. Oh, I've missed the page now. And he says here. He's got his own terminology for everything. So he calls karma evolutionary causality. He says, sure of karma or evolutionary causality, you resolve not to kill, but to save lives. Not to steal, but to give gifts. Not to harm sexually, but only to benefit. Not to lie, but to speak truth. Not to backbite, but to reconcile. Not to chatter, but to speak meaningfully. Not to covet, but to be generous. Not to hate, but to love. Not to speak, not harshly, but sweetly. We can still say what we think. I mean, it's not that we turn everything into pinky color, right? But it's a strong sense of, I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. And I'll try. And to hold not unrealistic views, but realistic ones. Right? This is a change of attitude. As much as we can and gradually, and then being also kind of honest with ourselves where we can get, right? So this is the power of regret and of changing attitudes. Then the power of the remedy, it's called, or the power of the practice itself. In this case, we're using the energy of Vajrasattva and the mantra and the visualization. And then we've got the power of the promise, or we have it, the resolve. We have it here as the resolve, I think. And this is, again, changing tendencies. Just, or restrain. And this, we've spoken about this one. It's like, okay, for tomorrow, I will abstain from that. And there's here we're putting an imprint, which is exactly the contrary that we've done. So this is what makes the purification powerful, these four powers, and then the meditation on emptiness. Meditation on emptiness is not stated as one of the powers, but is what in actuality cuts from the root the negative karma and all the karma, because it cuts from the root believing that this is so, this is negative karma, this is harm, this has been done, now it's changed. I'm going to read very, very quick. Rinpoche, tomorrow we'll enter into this, and I want to read something about emptiness from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, which is very powerful. So Lama Zopa Rinpoche, in the teachings from the Vajrasattva retreat, he said, we're able to purify negative karma because negative karmas are dependent arisings. Why? Because one set of causes and conditions, for instance, afflictions, create negative karma. But then another set of causes and conditions, for instance, purification with Vajrasattva, changes this. So it makes it purified. It makes it purified karma. Rinpoche says that's all. That's all. That's easy, right? So, yeah. There's causes and conditions. Yeah, I go. There's causes and conditions, and our mind fixes them, right? As negative, for instance. Inherently negative. But then causes and conditions change. So now it's purified. This label, negative, harmful, it has no basis anymore. You know where I'm going to? Has no basis anymore. It's different. It's been purified. So we've changed this, and it can be conceived, and it can be expressed, and it can be experienced as purified, because we've changed the causes and conditions. Neil, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I think you've sort of answered the question, because I was going to ask, what's the difference between, or could you explain a little more about the difference between like good karma and eradicated karma?
About, sorry, didn't...
between good karma and eradicating karma?
Yeah. Well, good karma is the same. In it doesn't exist inherently, ultimately, anyway. But good karma, good imprints, positive imprints, they ripen as a positive experience that is satisfactory to us, and experience that bring us into the path of the Dharma, depending on the karma, right? So it's there. It's there. We don't need to purify this one because we want more of this one. So that's why we're working with the negative karma, to purify the negative karma. At the end, in the, when one meditates into emptiness, a person who has meditated into on emptiness, who is realizing directly emptiness, who by this eradicates all bondage to karma. This is negative, positive karma is not bound anymore by an identification with an I that has negative karma, positive karma, and that brings an experience that has to be experienced in this very way. Inherent existence, this is what it it does to us. Our ignorance of believing in inherent existence, we believe this is like that. It cannot be another experienced in another way. This is like that. It cannot be experienced in another way. It's coming from there that this is like that. But it just conventionally experienced right now like that. It could be conventionally experienced in another way. We're creating our experience. We're creating reality moment by moment. It just, we believe that the experience now, this is what it is. But it could be experienced in another way. So reality would be slightly different, for instance, right? So we are not anymore, when one is liberated, one is not anymore bound to experience in that way. It can have a much more rich and freer experience with many more possibilities of experience reality. Yeah. But now we're working specifically with the negative karma because it brings suffering and because it separates us from understanding who we are, from understanding our own mind, our own potential, and from understanding how reality is. So it bonds us to cyclic existence. At the end, is a conditional existence. Is my existence right now is pretty much conditioned by the karma and afflictions. This is as we were saying yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't choose. We don't choose. And the conditions come for us to suffer, we will suffer. And they are here, they are inside, outside and inside. And we will suffer, no choice. That's why we're here purifying. And sometimes it happens that it seems like, okay, Dharma is one thing and life is real world, another thing, right? Like it happens like separated things. You know, like the compass is one thing and the real world, it's outside, is the busy streets and everything. So it's an effort to bring it here because actually samsara nirvana, it's here. It's one's own experience of what is happening, be it in the gompa, be it in the busy streets, be it in the marketplace. But it's, there's this kind of separation in our minds. Pretty often. And after many years, it's still there, at least for me sometimes. And so it's all here, actually. It's just the way we perceive things and we experience things. Just this. So that's why we're going to do this practice of purification so that we can experience things in a much more healthy and wise and understanding way, and free, liberated way. So we can go through the practice. I wanted to bring bodhicitta now here with Rinpoche's, Lama Zopa Rinpoche's words. So we can settle down first our body and mind for a while. And then we'll do the practice starting with generating bodhicitta. So we take a few moments to settle down our bodies and our minds. We try to do it naturally. We just accompany kind of by the hand our attention into our bodies, into our being here. We can take the movement and experience of the breath as our anchor, our center for a while. And we're going to practice this Vajrasattva purification. And in Rinpoche's words, I'm not practicing this Vajrasattva purification for myself alone. The purpose of my life is to release all hell beings, pretas, animals, humans, asuras, suras, and intermediate state beings from all their suffering and its causes, and lead them to unsurpassed enlightenment. In order to do this, I must first reach enlightenment myself. Therefore, I must purify all my negative karma immediately by practicing the Vajrasattva meditation recitation. So bodhicitta sometimes seems something far away or something that is only conceptual or even imposed. Sometimes I have to But if we check within ourselves, we can find the seat of bodhicitta within. There's a lot of motivations that can be our motivation for being here, And if we look within our minds, one of the motivations can be bodhicitta motivation. A wish to get rid of suffering, help others to get rid of suffering. If we contact with our deep wish for feeling fulfilled, free, in harmony, our deep wish for not to suffer, we can recognize this wish in others also, if we look at them from this perspective. So we can just, for a few moments, look around. Imagine how many beings there are in other dimensions suffering. Maybe beings that we have met before, maybe we haven't, or we have but far away. But in any case, they're suffering, and wherever there is suffering, this is to be alleviated, is to be released, because it's painful. So just a few moments to look within and find this wish, not only for myself, but for others as well. Wherever they are, actually. Now we have the opportunity to do something. Our gurus did something, and thanks to them, we're here. We have a light, we have a guidance, we've met the Dharma. We're learning to know who we are, who we can be. And this is thanks to them. They showed us the way, right? So we can do the same for others who have connection with us, and now is the moment to do it. We just do it slowly, but we're here doing it, and with this motivation we can do the Vajrasattva purification practice. On your right side is your father. On your left side is your mother. Your enemy and those sentient beings who make you agitated are in front of you. We can take a few moments to imagine them. And people you are attached to are seated behind you. All other universal living beings are surrounding you. Visualize a standing Heruka embracing Vajravarahi as your principal refuge object. Around him are the Dakas and the Kinis, wrathful gods and peaceful goddesses, and many other Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Arhats who have completely attained the everlasting peaceful realization of enlightenment. There are 62 different deities in the Heruka mandala. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the Dakas and the Kinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to the sublime state of Herukahood. I must become Heruka in order to lead all sentient beings to a sublime state of Herukahood. You can take a few moments for that. I must become enlightened or Heruka for all sentient beings. Just look within whether it does make sense to you. And now the objects of refuge melt into light and dissolve into Heruka, who in turn melts into light and dissolves into you. we can think we've contacted with the mind of refuge, which is confidence and trust and protection. From samsara, from afflictions, from conditioned existence, for oneself and for others. Coming from the outer refuge and from the inner guru, the inner refuge, our own capacity. Now, instantaneously, I arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two arms, holding Dorje and Bell. Out of the void, about 6 inches above the crown of my head, appears the seed syllable Pam, which transforms into a 1,000-petaled lotus. On top of the lotus appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a moon disc. In the center of the moon disk stands the seed syllable Hum. Suddenly, the Hum transforms into a white 5-pronged bhaja with a Hum at its center. Much radiant light emanates from both the Hum and the bhaja, going out into the 10 directions and completing the 2 purposes, offering great psychic, blissful energy to all gurus and buddhas, and purifying the defilements of all sentient beings. The whole universe melts into light. This light then returns and is absorbed by the Hum in the Vajra. The Hum and Vajra also melt into light and transform into Heruka Vajra Sattva. Vajra Sattva is white. He has one face and two arms. Sitting in the full lotus position, he holds a vajra in his right hand at his heart, and a bell in his left, which rests in his lap. His consort Dorje Nyingma Karma embraces him, her legs encircling his body. She too is white and has one face and two arms. She holds a curved knife in her right hand and a skull cap in her left. They are both dressed in robes of heavenly silk and adorned by precious jewel ornaments. They both have seed syllables Om at the crown chakra, A at the throat chakra, and Hum at the heart. Real light radiates from the Hum at the heart, invoking the divine supreme wisdom energy of all the Tathagatas to the space in front of Vajrasattva in the form of the wisdom beings. Okendaro hi hum hum pe on chawa shuda sarva dharma so ashudo ham. All is void. Out of the void appears a seed syllable A. It turns into a huge white skull cup containing the 5 meats and nectars. They melt, becoming an ocean of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom. Oma hum ha hori, Oma hum ha hori, Oma hum ha hori. Now we present the offerings. Om Vajra Sattva Argam Pratisha Hum Soha. Om Vajra Sattva Padyam Pratisha Hum Soha. Om Vajra Sattva Pupe Pratisha Hum Soha. Om Vajra Sattva Dupe Pratisha Hum Soha. Om Vajra Sarva Aloke Pratisha Hunsoha. Om Vajra Sarva Gende Pratisha Hunsoha. Om Vajra Sarva Nyude Pratisha Hunsoha. Om Vajra Sarva Shata Pratisha Hunsoha. Jahum Bam Ho. They become non-dual. The wisdom beings who are the wisdom energy of all Tathagatas joyfully sink into Vajrasattva's divine heart, becoming completely one, like a drop of water sinking into the ocean. Now the empowerment. Again, brilliant light radiates from the home at the divine heart, invoking all the initiating deities of the five families. Om Panchakula Sapariware Argam Paryam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shati Shahan Swaha. O Tathagatas, please bestow me the Heruka Vajrasattva initiation. Upon this request, all the Tathagatas held out their initiation vases, which are full of the Amrita energy of divine transcendental wisdom, and the Amrita stars to flow. The divine body of perfect absolute wisdom, Heruka Vajrasattva, is completely filled with the Amrita energy of blissful transcendental wisdom. Some Amrita overflows and transforms into Akshobhya, who adorns Vajrasattva's crown. The initiation deities then melt into light and sink into Vajrasattva. At the center of Amundisk, at the divine heart, stands the six-syllable Hum, encircled by the 100-syllable mantra, standing counterclockwise around the edge of Amundisk. We make offerings. Om Vajrasattva Argam Paryam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shakta. Om Vajrasattva Om Ahom. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings. Indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajrasattva, I prostrate. We offer the mandala. Maybe we can offer the long mandala so that we have offered in the long version at least once. Om Vajra Bhumi Aho Vanchen Segi Sashi. Om Vajra Reke Aho Nchi Chari Kor Yuge Kor Veyusu. Trigel Pori Rasha Lupa Polo Zambuli No Valancho. Jandra Minye Ludan Lupa Nyaya Danya Yazen. Yoden dan lancho dro draminyen dan draminyen gila Rinpoche riwo pa sangi shing dojo iva Mamo pa iloto kolo rinpoche norbu rinpoche Tsumo rinpoche lompo rinpoche lampo rinpoche tacho rinpoche Mabo rinpoche terchen bo ibumpa Ye ma chewa ma lu ma gar ma meto ma dupo ma nansel ma richa ma ni ma da wa rinpo che du chole nam pa ye we yen sen u su la da mi yi pe jo pu su so pa ma ca wa me pa san chin ji wu wong ba di da rin chen ca wa dan gi u pa che be pel de la ma dan pa nan dan ke pa du ya la ma lo san tu an do je chan Cempo la tsoko dan chepe nam la jinkambu agiwo. Tu je joe do tu se su so jene kentang so jo wa ma yunam keta danya paisen chentan chela. Tukse wa cempo go ne jingila tu so. This bran anointed with perfumes, strewn with flowers, adorned with more marrow, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine these as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings thus enjoy this pure land. The right view of Sunyata is one with the wisdom of great bliss. This wisdom transforms into Mon Meru, the sun, the moon, and all other phenomena in the universe. I offer everything magnificent to you, ocean of great kindness, who are liberated and who liberates all mother sentient beings as well. The objects of my attachment, aversion and ignorance, friends, enemies and strangers, and my body, wealth and enjoyments. Without any sense of loss or hesitation, I offer this collection. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me and all sentient beings with freedom from the three poisons. Ida Guru Ratna Mandala Kavniryata Yami. Now the power of regret, and we'll stay a bit there so that we can contact, as we said. Make it clear what we want to purify, get energy from that and change tendencies, because we realize we can do differently. Through ignorance and delusion, I have broken and damaged my pledges. Holy Guru, who has the power to liberate me, my inner master, holder of the Vajra, whose essence is great compassion, Lord of all migratory beings, to you I go for refuge. O Bhagavan Vajrasattva, destroyer of all defilements, who has attained all realizations and has passed to the other shore. I request you to please purify all negativities and broken and damaged pledges of myself and other sentient beings. So we pause here to generate the power of regret, to touch what we want and need to purify. And the power of remedy. Because of this request, real light radiates from the mantra rosary and the home at the divine heart of Vajrasattva. The light purifies all negativities and obscurations of all sentient beings and becomes an offering for all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The essence of the perfect qualities of their holy body, speech, and mind. All their transcendental knowledge, wisdom, returns in the form of light that sinks into the home and the mantra rosary at Vajrasattva's divine heart. From the Home Mantra Rosary, a stream of blissful white Amrita energy begins to flow down through the central channel of the Divine Couple. The Amrita flows out through their secret chakras in union and flows into me through my crown chakra. Flowing down through my central channel, this stream of transcendental wisdom, Amrita energy, fills my whole body, destroying all negativities and defilements of my body, speech, and mind. These are completely purified. And as we purify from time to time, we can recall bodhicitta to make our purification more powerful and to bring it beyond ourselves. If we feel comfortable with it. Om Vajra, Heruka, Samaya, Manopalaya, Heruka, Denopatita, Nidamewas, Tukayamevas. Timebreta, Saukama, Tutame, Titantira, Kuruhum, Hao, Bagavan, Vajra, Heruka, Mamuta, Heruka, Mahasame, Saba, Aum, Peum, Vajra. Take your time to slowly release the mantra and to integrate the purification of as we have been doing. And we can recall emptiness. And we can recall bodhicitta also and imagine all sentient beings are purified like us. Now we can make offerings. Om Vajra Sarva Argam Padyam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Nyude Shauta. Om Vajra Sarva Om Ahum. Don't dwell divine wisdom, magnificent inner jewel, ornament of all mother sentient beings. Everlasting great bliss. Indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of all this speech and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajra Sarva, I prostrate. Vajrasattva says, O child of good family, your negativities and obscurations and damage and broken pledges are cleansed and purified. Think that what Guru Vajrasattva says has actually happened. All your negativities have been completely purified. There is not the slightest trace of defilement left on your mental continuum. Your mental continuum is completely pure. And now the power of restraint. From now on, I'll abstain from all devices that I can abstain from, and I'll abstain from those that are extremely difficult for me to abstain from for one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, or at least a few seconds. And with this, we absorb. Now you're about to abstain from creating negative karma. Please ask Guru Vajrasattva, who will now melt into light and absorb into you. Dorje Nyingma Karma is transformed into light and is absorbed into Vajrasattva. Vajrasattva then melts into light and sinks into my heart. My three doors of body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Vajrasattva's holy speech, body, speech, and mind. Vajrasattva and I are completely one, and I enjoy the bliss of sunyata in full samadhi, beyond the dualistic view that discriminates between subject and object. This is the highest possible enjoyment. Now we will offer the Torma. Remember that by offering the Torma, we can imagine that all our negative tendencies, all our hindrances, obstacles, and so on, they transform into nectar, and we send this transformation away to the protectors, to the gurus again, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, as a thanksgiving, and they enjoy this, and our hindrances go away. We're transforming our afflictions in wisdom, nectar. I instantly arise as dark blue Heruka with one face and two hands, holding Bhaja and Bell. Standing with my right leg extended, I embrace my consort, the red Vajravrahi, who has one face and two hands and holds a curved knife and skull cap. Everything becomes completely void. Out of the non-dual void appears the seed syllable A, which transforms into a very large white skull cap. Inside the skull cup are the five meads and five nectars. The substances melt into liquid and become an ocean of amrita energy, of divine, blissful, transcendental wisdom. Oma hum ha hori, Oma hum ha hori, Oma hum ha hori. In front of me appears Bhagavan Vajrasattva with Dorje Nyingma Karma. On Vajrasattva's tongue, a white hum transforms into a white three-pronged Bhaja. From the three-pronged vajra, hollow tubes of vajra light appear, through which the essence of the Dharma is drawn forth and enjoyed. Om Vajra Sava Sapariwareidam Balinta Kakakaikai. Om Vajra Sava Sapariwareidam Balinta Kakakaikai. Om Vajra Sava Sapariwareidam Balinta Kakakaikai. Om Vajra Sava Argam Padiam Pupe Dupe Aloke Gende Niude. Shut up. Om Vajra Sarva Om Ahum. Non-dual divine wisdom, magnificent in a jewel ornament of all mother sentient beings. Indestructible, magnificent wisdom mind that releases all sentient beings from all negativities of body, speech, and mind, especially broken vows and pledges. To you, glorious Vajra Sattva, I prostrate. We dedicate. We'll do the dedications at page 19 and then the long life prayers. Charlotte can put them on the screen. Because of these merits, first page 19, yeah. Because of these merits, may I quickly become Heruka Vajrasattva and lead each and every sentient being into his divine enlightened realm. May the precious body mind not yet born arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. And the long life prayers for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and all our precious gurus. We think we dedicate for their long lives also, and so that we always find them, they always find us, and we always have the Dharma around. Gare rawe koe shinkam di pendan dewa malu jungwene chere ziwan tenzing yatso yi shabe site badu tengyo shi tu tu chan chin jang gong ye wei Tenzin kyon pe we kun so dok po tse. Chok sun ku we le mon tu tru. Pa dak so du je gon du sha ten shu. We can take a few moments to direct our energy to those who need it, to all beings, wherever they are, as well. And as Shantideva says, for as long as the world remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, may it too remain in order to dispel the sufferings of the world. Thank you very much. Is there anything you want to comment or say or ask? We have a few moments if you want. I think one of the main challenge. There's many challenges right now for us. You know, the Buddhist Dharma coming into the West with our cultures and lives and everything. Right, it's many challenges. One of them is to bring Dharma and our life into the same place somehow. Right, not to make a separation. Now I practice. Now I don't. This is real life. This is not. And so I like to read something, which I always find very, it's from the Dalai Lama. And this book is very inspiring. On the Path to Enlightenment, Matthieu Ricard, it's just quotes that inspired him on retreat and on his practice. It's very inspiring. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the mind is malleable, it's capable of change. So we need to learn to see how we can transform it. We need to identify the ways to achieve that transformation and put them into action. He says, samsara, the circle of existences, and nirvana, the state beyond it, are not like geographical locations far from one another. They are two states of mind. Samsara is a deviation from knowledge, a distorted vision of reality that makes the mind the slave of negative emotions, while nirvana is a state of inner freedom, free from any conceptual and emotional obstacles. Both, they just arise from causes and conditions. And I find it very inspiring because sometimes we think enlightenment is out there somehow and far away, but actually it's here. It's who we are. And we need to discover it and awaken it. And it's with us all the time. And so the challenge is to integrate these wherever we are. So, thank you. Anyone wants to say something or share? Thank you for being here, and I'm reading now. Tanya, you cannot be here tomorrow. Thank you for being here during the weekend. It's been good seeing you. And so we continue tomorrow together. We continue today by yourself. So thank you very much, and see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.